Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you see something, you better say something. Nothing at all, nothing at all.
If you see something, say something. Does that phrase sound familiar? You've probably seen it on posters all over the subway, or maybe you listen to BuzzFeed's See Something, Say Something podcast, which features interviews with Muslims in America discussing everything from pop stars Zayn Malik to Trump's travel ban. Over the next few weeks, the podcast will focus on how different Muslims experience the holy month of Ramadan, which kicked off last weekend. During this period, Muslims from all over the world fast from dawn until dusk. If you're a Muslim observing Ramadan in New York, that's about 16 hours without food or water in a year like this when Ramadan falls in May and June. Joining us now is Ahmed Ali Akbar, host of See Something, Say Something, here to talk about some of the stories he's collected lately and to hear some of yours. Ahmed, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Thanks for having me. You like our theme song. I saw you dancing a little bit.
I can dance in my chair to your theme song. I do like it. And Muslim listeners, how are you observing Ramadan? How are you feeling, or what are you reflecting on this month? What did you think of Trump's Ramadan message, which, yes, he did give one, and we'll get to that. How brutal is Ramadan in late spring when the fasting goes on for 16 hours? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or if you're a listener of and have a question for Ahmed Ali Akbar, 212-433-9692. So the first episode of this podcast was about fasting. As you also point out, it's the most recognizable thing about Ramadan. How are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. You know, this is my third year doing Ramadan in New York, and it's definitely very different than Ramadan in Michigan, where I'm from. It's a lot of work planning out your meals on the subway and figuring out where you can break your fast. I've broken my fast on the subway more times than I'd like to admit, because I was running late, just get a glass of water.
Because you know exactly what the minute is when the sun goes down, and now I can eat, and it's going to be 7:36, and I'm going to have that granola bar.
Oh, it's usually a bottle of water. And yes, I do know exactly when. I have an app on my phone that I'm constantly looking at.
What do Muslims who live in Alaska do in July when the sun doesn't set?
I think a lot of these things are sort of about the intention and making sure that you do your best effort. I don't know any Alaskan Muslims. I've seen some of the stories. I think they generally just give it like, 12 to 16 hours like they would in places where the sun has a more normal cycle.
And Ramadan isn't just about fasting, obviously. What parts of the month do you enjoy otherwise that may often get overshadowed in the general public's mind by the question of fasting?
You know, there's two big things that I think about. One is the trying to be a better person, which is something that's, you know, very difficult for me. It's hard to be better when you are hungry, like I am now.
Is there something you want to confess?
I'm... You know, you do your best. And then, of course, the other thing is community building, you know, meeting people at fasts, seeing how generous people are with their food. They give people hold parties, you know, lots of mosques and Muslim students associations give free food every night. And there's, you know, always going to be somebody who's willing to share their plate with you.
What's something you're tired of hearing from non-Muslims during Ramadan?
The classic one is you can't even drink water. that's very common, a very common question that a lot of Muslims, I think, probably get at work or at school. And yes, you can't drink water from, you know, New York, it's about 3:50 or so till about 8:30. And that's probably a little more difficult than I think the food, actually.
Now, President Trump issued a statement last Friday wishing Muslims a joyful Ramadan while urging Muslims to reject violence. Did you read the Trump statement? How did you react?
I did read it. You know, I was not surprised in a way. I think even before President Trump, Muslims were used to their religion being always tied to a national security context, that, you know, it is in some ways our duty or obligation to speak up against terrorism, even when there's things like Ramadan, which are things that are, you know, like a month of peace for us, a month where we're supposed to be better people. And we have to, like, it was no surprise that he encouraged those kind of things. And it's not, he's not the first president also to do so. Or even like Bill Clinton had that statement on his on the campaign trail where he asked Muslims who love America and hate terror to speak out against it, as if
not that different,
as if like we needed to speak out against terror to be American, even though, you know, like most Americans, we feel, you know, horrified by violence.
So again, listeners, you are invited if you are a Muslim observing Ramadan, or if you're a fan of Ahmad Ali Akbar's See Something, Say Something podcast on BuzzFeed. How are you observing Ramadan? How are you feeling? What are you reflecting on this month? What do you think of Trump's Ramadan message now that you know what it is, if you didn't before? How brutal is Ramadan for you here in late spring when the fasting goes on for 16 hours? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll put out another invitation, too, if you want to have some Ahmad Ali Akbar type of fun. He has been known to answer the question, is it halal or not? So we have a little list of things that we will ask him, halal or not, and you can throw one in too if you're curious. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And that doesn't just have to be about food. You can ask Ahmed where different words, places, or phrases even fall on the halal spectrum. If you want to do that, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What did you want to say?
Just, you know, to clarify the game a little bit, because yeah. I think for a lot of New Yorkers, especially, halal refers to type of cuisine. But really, halal just means, you know, things that are allowable. And the opposite is often haram, which means things are forbidden. And as kids, we were always obsessed with, is it halal or is it haram? So it's a segment we do on the show where we just sort of give our opinions about things that are, you know, for the most part, they're actually halal because most things are halal in the world. But we, you know, give our thoughts on Zayn Malik and different foods that we think we just give our opinion about them.
There are a lot of non-Muslims in New York who maybe never heard the word halal until they thought it's the first word of the phrase that ends with guys.
Yeah.
The halal guys.
Yep, that's right. And people think it's a type of cuisine, even though it's – and it has become one legitimately.
Right.
Halal card is a type of cuisine at this point. Like, we should give it the respect it deserves.
It's like chicken over rice and just get used to it.
Yeah. But it's also a way of slaughtering meat and, you know, just a whole, like, legal framework that we use. But it's – I like that it's entering, you know, pop culture phraseology now.
Chek in Newark. You're on WNYC. Hi, Chek.
Hi, can you hear me clearly?
We can.
Hi, my name is Chek Mbay. Thank you so much for accepting my call. It's a truly, truly honor to be on the air, and I've been your fan for a while. But
thank you, sir.
I want to make it very brief. But my reason of calling, because I am a Muslim, and I've practiced Islamic my whole life. I grew up in West Africa, Senegal, and I came back here when I was 17 years old. But Ramadan basically is one of the most important months for all Muslims. This is a month that we cherish, we pray for, we ask for forgiveness, and we also forgive, you know. And you mentioned something about the difficulty of fasting for 16 hours. In fact, I am a teacher, and I feel like I fast over 16 hours, about 20 hours, because the fact that the last time we could eat during the morning is like around 3 o'clock, but me as a teacher, I have to wake up early, and if I stay up, it's like a little confliction, so I usually eat like around 12, and I'm fasting like all the way till 8 the next day. Mm. And it's like for me,
because people are not waking up at 3 in the morning to have a snack and then go back to sleep, right, Chek?
Yeah, that's very hard, because if you are working for me, I have a daughter, I put her to sleep, and then I have to wake up early. It's very hard to wake up 3 in the morning and then try to go back to sleep for an hour or two before work. So usually I just eat like around 12 o'clock. But honest for me, eating is actually is not as hard. Like, fasting is not hard. The hardest part is abstaining from worldly comfort, which basically means a lot of Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, who don't really study deep, or people who don't really understand their religion, they just think as about just not eating. But that's just one aspect of it, one component. It's really about abstaining yourself from worldly comfort. That means all the stuff that you normally do on a day-to-day basis just to comfort, whether to go out or for some type of date or something like that.
And that, does that deprivation help you be a better person in some way the rest of the year?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the time where we have the opportunity to connect with Allah, right, God. This is the time that, you know, we're forgiving, and we're asking for forgiveness. So it is allowing us to build a more deeper spiritual connection with Allah, and is deepening our relationship and making us a better person. So this is mainly a month about that. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good luck as a parent, as a teacher, as a human being. Thank you very much for calling in.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
And Tammy in Bayonne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I wasn't raised Muslim. I didn't convert or revert to Islam until I think I was 21 years old. So fasting is something that I haven't been trained to do since I was very young. Mm. So I just wanted to share a little bit about, you know, my experience with fasting.
And what is it?
Okay, well, you know, it was really hard for me for a very, very long time. And it hasn't always been in the late spring with, you know, as many hours as we have now.
Right. Well, and Ramadan, for people who don't know, moves throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
So
about 10 days back every year.
About 10 days back every year. But it keeps going. I remember when we did the show when it coincided with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we talked about people's Ramadan Thanksgiving feasts. And so it goes through the entire year. And as you say, about 10 days rotation per year. Sorry, Tammy. Go ahead.
No. I mean, that's right. Because, like, even when I first started fasting, it wasn't a harsh fasting like what some people would consider this time of year. Last year it was even hotter during the fasting time than what it is this year. So, but, you know, over the years I've adjusted, and it's actually became, you know, at least the not eating and not drinking part has become quite easy for me, you know, even as somebody who wasn't trained to do so from a young age. What I find it difficult sometimes is to not be hangry, as I like to call it, you know, when you're a little bit hungry and a little bit on edge, and, you know, try to maintain patience with others.
Thank you so much, Tammy.
Yeah, we love hearing these kind of stories also on See Something, Say Something, because a lot of people like to think of Muslims as only immigrants or only, you know, the children of immigrants like myself. But there's lots of people who are American born and bred, who are, you know, black Muslims, or, you know, are recent converts. Or there's people, you know, Muslims have been a part of, like, America since even the days of slavery, when many were brought over from West Africa as slaves. And they continue to practice as well. So it's, you know, fasting in America has been around for a long time.
And we'll continue in a minute with Ahmed Ali Akbar, host of BuzzFeed's See Something, Say Something podcast. And when we come back, we'll play Halal or Not. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer at WNYC with Ahmed Ali Akbar, host of BuzzFeed's See Something, Say Something, Ramadan. It's a special podcast for Ramadan, right? Or is that your ongoing podcast?
So we have several episodes before Ramadan, but we have this special Ramadan series where every week we, like, tackle a different subject. We just released one this morning about, like, mosques and community spaces and the ways in which they have struggled to accommodate Black American Muslims and queer folks and women, and talk to people who are sort of, like, working on making mosques more inclusive or building spaces that can include types of people who might have traditionally had trouble coming to the mosques. And Ramadan is a big time when a lot of Muslims come to the mosque more often than they might not otherwise.
And if you're an Ahmed fan, you can also see him doing a live taping of the podcast at the Northside Festival on June 9th in Brooklyn. I know they're using so many venues for Northside. Where's yours?
I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry.
You can look it up, folks. Northside Festival next Friday, June 9th. Okay, so on your podcast, you play a game with your guests called Halal or Not, where you ask your guests about different words and phrases about how halal these things are or not. So you gave us a little before the break on what makes something halal in general. So I'll do a little bit of a list, and
okay,
then we'll go back to calls, okay?
Okay.
Dates, the fruit.
Dates are, of course, the most halal. You break your fast with it. It, like, makes you feel happy after a long day. You share it with a bunch of a long day of fasting. You share it with your friends and family.
Fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners. I haven't had enough experience with them. I think they are taking over the world a little bit, which makes me feel like they're a little less than halal.
Marshmallows?
I have had plenty of halal marshmallows, so I think marshmallows as a concept, definitely halal. If they have pork in them, they might be kind of hard to eat because a lot of people don't eat them because of pork gelatin.
The Subway.
As in the New York City Subway?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would probably say majority of the times not, but when it gets you to, it's magical the way it gets you to, you know, throughout the boroughs. Like, that's been an amazing thing that I have enjoyed since moving to New York.
Are bodega cats halal?
Oh, ouch. Are you kidding? Of course they are. You know, they kill the mouses. They let you, you can pet them. You know, they add a nice homey feel.
Marie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Brian. Sir, I wanted to know how you felt about, I lived in West Africa for many years, and I had a lot of Arab friends or West African friends who were Muslim, and they wouldn't even swallow their own saliva.
You mean during Ramadan?
I wondered what you thought of that.
That's not true, right?
I have no idea. There are many, many different schools and sects of how to practice and legal practice. It's very possible that that could be the case, but not for me.
Rashida in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, Rashida.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I was concerned that we focused, that we're making the discussion of Ramadan very Americanized. Ramadan is not predominantly about eating, not eating, stopping to eat, or beginning to eat. Ramadan is a month of reflection and revelation. That is the frame of Ramadan, and it's organized around a lunar calendar, so it doesn't shift, Brian, as you're saying. It doesn't shift. It follows a lunar calendar. So if there's a shifting, I would just ask you to frame it that way. Mm. Because so many misconceptions about Islam, everybody jumps on to one word, now it's halal, this month it's Ramadan. Next month we go right back to the same thing of radical Islam, militant Islam. And so as a Muslim living in America and trying to practice and trying to be spiritual, it's very difficult when I hear everything about, it's all about food. That's because Americans eat so much, whether they need it or not. Their lives very often is organized around grabbing things and immediate gratification. It doesn't mean that Muslims don't think about food. I'm just saying that that's not the frame of Ramadan. And in reality, because of the way that things are happening right now, fasting is a way of life 365 days a year for many, many Muslims. So we need to think about that. And this is a time when we think about that, when we are grateful for the blessings we have. And our wish is that everybody would have those blessings, whether they are Muslims or not.
Also beautifully put, Rashida. Thank you. Ahmed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very fair point, Rashida. I try to meet people where they are, and you know, for me, it is a month that I try to be better and try to like recenter myself in the way you're talking about around like the Muslim identity. But you know, there are many ways in which the identity is complex, and we might not always be like those perfect Muslims who can practice in a way that we are getting better. And I think we should be able also to accept that those, you know, in between spaces. And that's a lot of what I try to highlight. But I totally appreciate that perspective. I think it's very, very legit.
I know what you're mocking by calling your podcast See Something, Say Something.
Uh-huh.
But were you at all concerned in developing the title that even by mocking it, you're associating Islam again with security concerns?
Well, I think part of the whole thing is the show almost never talks about security concerns ever. Unless it's affecting a Muslim's life, like for instance when the travel ban happened, there were lots of people with real serious concerns about like, what will my grandmother do who does not have a U.S. passport? You know, can they come visit me? Then we started talking about it. But we tried to recenter it around like life living as a Muslim in America. Outside of that security apparatus. It's just a little tongue-in-cheek, you know. But I was a little worried about it for a sec, but I decided the joke and the music and the theme song was too good.
All right. You want to take a couple of halal or not questions?
Yes, please.
Manny in Basking Ridge has one. Hi, Manny.
Hi. I used to have a shoe store. I had a store and I sold shoes. I sold better shoes that had leather lining. And a lot of leather-lined shoes are lined in pigskin. And people would come in and ask me if it was lined in pigskin. If it was, they would say thank you and walk out. Is there any halal feature associated with that?
Pigskin-lined shoes, halal or not?
So again, when we do this on the show, we try to stay away from the things that could get me in trouble with people who know better than I do. So I can't speak on it on like an authoritative scale.
You actually do research before you give answers? You just don't spout off the top of your head?
It's a mix. It's a mix. Yeah, there are definitely people who are uncomfortable with that. I've definitely even had – I actually don't know the answer myself. I think I have done that myself. I've found out that there was pigskin on a shoe, and I was like, you know – I don't know for sure, but maybe I'll be safe just not.
Frank in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on the show. I've been listening since probably before I could speak English. Given especially BuzzFeed's association with the younger demographic, I've got a couple of questions. First of all, not contesting the popularity of avocados. Avocados are seeing incredible use in, like, I think I just saw a smoothie the other day, which was solely avocado. And I would certainly love to know your judgment weighing in on avocado, pretty much everything as halal or haram. And also for the younger demographic, the use of recreational marijuana.
There may be some baby boomer listeners who say this is not only for the younger demographic, but we have 10 seconds for your answer to this question.
Avocados, spend as much money as you want on them. They are halal. You know, all the millennials should buy all the avocados. Marijuana, that's something I'll leave to the Islamic scholars. I'm not going to answer that question on air.
Frank learned English pretty well listening to public radio.
That's true.
Ahmed Ali Akbar, host of BuzzFeed See Something, Say Something podcast. You can also see him at the Northside Festival in Brooklyn on June 9th. So much fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. And Ramadan Mubarak.
To you too.